Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's time to talk about the pack with Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day podcast on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Presented by Verizon, the official 5G provider of the Green Bay Packers on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
This is the Mason Crosby Show, and if you missed it, we're going to get into Andy Herman in just one second here. I think we need you to mute the phone itself because it's got here coming through. Mason, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Giannis says he will never ask for a trade from the Bucks. That's not in my nature.
I love it.
Yeah, so Buck for life. We can all stop talking now, right?
Yep, exactly.
Unless the Bucks trade him, and then it's on the Bucks, not on Giannis. So
exactly, it's good on him, you know.
Yeah, Shams and Brian Windhorst just tendered their resignations to ESPN because they have no job anymore.
Their jobs are done.
Yeah, their jobs are done.
That stinks.
Yeah, exactly. Joining us now here at Margaritas in Green Bay, as always, our best friend Andy Herman is here. What's up, baby?
Hey, it's going great.
That's a high five.
That's a high five.
Oh, that was
Tommy
great.
Virtual high five?
Dude, virtual high five? I got you. I got you. We're there. I still, you know.
And high noon.
High noon.
That's what we do.
McFoley.
One day, Andy Herman and me will meet in person. But until then, I will continue to ask him always to do things for me with the assumption I will be there and then not show up. That's my goal.
That is wild. Y'all still haven't met?
Never met in real life. No, it's not on accident.
It's not on accident.
Part of Andy Herman's master plan.
Yeah. Right. Andy, Tommy just lives in the studio, so you'd have to go to Milwaukee to see Tommy. He's always there.
Yeah, he lives there. Yeah.
And it's not even Milwaukee. It's like, you know, the southwest suburb.
Mm, true.
So it's like, all right. You know, you got to go through all the strip malls first. So Andy, we are like, are you, one of the first questions I asked Mason and I'll ask you is like, are you like ready for the, or are you enjoying the buildup or are you ready for this game to just get here?
Yeah, I think right now I'm enjoying the buildup. Today it started to hit a little bit more that we're, you know, just about 48 hours away until kickoff. Yep. I think once Saturday hits and we get that first postseason game, it'll be, you know, like nervous hours of like, okay, this is real. But no, I'm enjoying the week and, you know, it's just crazy that in about, what, like 55 hours-ish, we're going to know if the Packers season is over we're getting ready for Seattle. So there's going to definitely be some sort of either finality to it or there's going to be a ton of excitement heading to Seattle and getting ready to play Sam Darnold and the Seattle Seahawks. So, no, it's real. I'm excited, but right now I'm enjoying the moment.
By the way, Mason, question for you and for Andy. Do you think there are any Packers fans who already have flights booked to Seattle?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you can always change flights. Might as well.
I know. I was just thinking out loud. Like, that's a good level of confidence. I like that.
Yeah, you got to always be prepared. I know people, unfortunately, were booking their flights and had tickets ready for the NFC or for the Super Bowl in 2014. I got a lot of those comments, right? Andy, I got a question for you. What do you think of Liverpool's season going right now?
Let's just take this whole thing today against Arsenal, right?
Yeah, we got an Oy Vey.
They haven't started against Arsenal yet, right? It's later today. It's a little bit.
I think it's 2 o'clock. Yeah.
2 o'clock. Yeah. So as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to go home and watch. But it's kind of felt like the Packers season where you've got a really good team,
right?
Super excited, some big acquisitions, and just fell a little bit flat of expectations. Some injuries involved too, but it feels like I'm living the same life in both worlds.
I do think the Packers and Liverpool FC there in England and in Liverpool are very very similar. They always kind of seem tied together, right? Like,
agreed.
It's just such a similar organizations, how they operate, what they do. All of a sudden this year, both organizations went out and made these huge splashes, And let's see how this one ends up for the Green Bay Packers, right? Because it's not going as well for the Liverpool Reds there.
At least you're not talking
in the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. If you'd have told me, though, in you know what, January, what are we today? Eighth today. So if you'd have told me on January 8th that the Packers have a better chance to win a Super Bowl than Liverpool does to have to win the title, I would have felt like the Packers were in a really good spot.
Okay.
And unfortunately, just neither of them are doing that great. But the Packers obviously still have a lot in front of them.
Yeah, Andy, talk to us about that. Like, you know, break things down. I love hearing your scout mind. What are you seeing in this week? A reset last week, just kind of brushed everything that happened in the regular season. It's like, all right, those stats are done. Everything's done. We're heading to the postseason. We're going to Soldier Field against the Bears for the third time. How do they go and get this win this weekend?
Yeah, actually, I want to throw it back at you for a second. Obviously, as a former player, is it can you do the fake week and then go into a week ready? Like, how do you feel players can manage that sort of switch from, hey, we're basically taking this as an exhibition game to, all right, now it's postseason?
It's there's certain I would say there's certain personalities, certain guys that that can handle it, and there's certain guys that can't. So, which that's a very PC open answer, but. That is the truth in all of this, in this sport of, you know, when you play football, you're going to have guys that could take multiple weeks off, not practice, like a Charles Woodson, and go out and win defensive MVP. But there are guys like, I even remember Donald Driver, different guys that they're like, I need to practice. Like, I need to be on the field, and I need to get some game reps. Like, they didn't want to take that time off. So I think it's just personality, how these guys work. And then it's up to the organization, the strength staff, the trainer, everybody. If you're not playing in that game, we are going to push you, though, to a point like you played a game. Like, you need to get to close to, you know, game tiredness. We got to run, you know, you got to do all these extra things. So if they handled that correctly, this could be a real positive for a lot of these guys who are a little banged up, like just had like nagging things that now they can maybe release free from and go out against the Bears and just cut it loose. Like a Josh Jacobs, I think, necessary, exactly. Right? And he's the type of guy, I think, that you know, you can shut him down for a game. He's going to work to be ready for this game on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's an interesting combo because I think, you know, going into that sort of week 18 week where nothing matters and you're getting ready for the postseason, I could make an argument either way. The vast majority of the time, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I think you have to kind of know where your team is at. This year, it just felt like such a no-brainer. It'd be one thing if, like, Green Bay was, like, on, like, a 3-4-game win streak, right? And you're like, oh, man, now we're going to take the foot off the gas and then take that week off. And, like, all of a sudden, maybe momentum is lost. Or, you know, if they were completely healthier, depending on the circumstances, there may have been a world in which I was arguing, like, no, play your guys and keep trying to get this thing going in the right direction. And this one is like you've lost three in a row before the Vikings game. Everyone's beat up. Your injury list is a CVS receipt. It's just a billion miles long, and you can use the rest. You haven't had a bye since week 5.
Yep.
So everything felt like you're going to have to just sort of refresh once the postseason starts anyway. The injury list is much, much better this week, and I just think it was the right decision for Green Bay, and I think they're going to be ready. And as soon as the game kicks off, I don't think the fact that Chicago played guys last week and Green Bay didn't, that's not going to be a factor. Nothing that happened in the two previous Bears games is going to be. It's just an entirely new football game, and I think Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, this team is going to be extremely ready for it.
Yeah, Andy, it's just like coming out of preseason of the regular season. This is a whole new season of football. Like last week in regular season, at this point on Thursday, feels like a long time ago. It's like
big time.
That game, that didn't even matter. That didn't count. It did, you know, it didn't have anything to do or give a bearing for this Packers team. I feel like people should be a little worried that the Packers, in a sense, got a bye week heading into the playoffs. Like, when do you get that? Like, you're seated, you get to go to, you know, you have to go on the road, but you got a bye week and you could rest your guys. The team that I'd be worried about are the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, they rest their guys. Chicago loses. They could have had the 2 seed had they beat the lowly Washington Commanders. And so for me, mentally, that would bring in doubt, right? Now you're having to play San Francisco. You're playing a tough team. Like, you're doing all these things. And now in your head, you're like, gosh, what if we would have gotten the 2 seed? Like, what if we had actually played our guys?
I'm going to play devil's advocate on you on that one, Mace, though. The only thing I'd say about Philly is that they did it last year. So maybe they know how to turn that switch. And I think 21 of 22 players who started opening day are still healthy for the Philadelphia Eagles. So they have health on their side And they have last year on their side.
Did last so year, right, though, like, could they have changed their seeding with the last game?
No. I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, so that's a huge difference in my opinion, right? They
yeah,
were the,
but
they were the two seed, right?
But I'm saying because they won the Super Bowl last year, like, they know what it takes. It's like, a vast majority of players on the team know what it takes to now get through the playoffs
you would
to
think
win a
so,
Super Bowl.
But I'm
I don't
sure
think
that's...
they care that much about Week 18.
We're bearing the obvious. They were afraid of Green Bay is why they did
there
that.
You
they
go.
They were
it
afraid
is.
Of the Green Bay Packers. So they wanted that three seed. They didn't want any smoke from the Green Bay Packers, even though they
right.
beat them three times in the last 2 years.
Yes, they did.
Disregard that. But yeah. other than that, they clearly didn't want Green Bay.
Obviously.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Andy, we were talking about Jordan Love. You obviously haven't seen him in a couple weeks. We were talking to Trevor earlier on the show. What are you expecting from Jordan Love? Have you been seeing anything? Have you been out to practice or, like, just heard anything from practice? Like, what he's been able to do? I'm assuming he's feeling, and he's probably feeling the best he has in a long time physically in his body. How do you think he's going to come out in this game, and what do you expect from him?
Yeah, he's full go, and you know, he was asked yesterday in the locker room, basically, you know, is there going to be any rust or anything like that? And he's usually, like, you know, kind of takes his time, responds to questions, and gives a lengthy response. And he was just succinct. He's like, no, not a concern, and that was it. And he was very pointed about it. Very, he is not expecting to be limited or, you know, rusty in any sort of way. Remember, you go back. I know he ultimately ended up throwing three interceptions in that game against Minnesota last year. That game against Minnesota, when he coming off the MCL injury, when he was probably back a week, week or two too early, to yep. be honest, and he played against a really good Vikings defense. I mean, he put up, 380 yards and four touchdowns in that game, and he clearly was not himself, and that was coming off of 2 weeks of not playing. I don't have any major concerns with Jordan being rusty or not seeing things. Like, he is going to be 1,000,000% ready to go for this game. He's going to want to continue that ownership of Chicago down in Chicago. I think everyone's going to be a little bit ticked off based on how that last game ended, and I expect him to go out and have a fantastic game. The one thing I have concern about is the potential wind and weather yep. in this game, because if you watch the tape of these last two Bears games, there are Packers receivers open down the field all over the place. Jaden Reed in that second game, once Malik Willis got in, was just constantly open down the field. Watson was open down the field a ton. Like, they had guys running free in the secondary. Some of it they took advantage of, some of it they didn't. But to me, if they're able to hit on those passes that are going to be there for them in this Packer or this Bears secondary, they have a huge opportunity to win the game. If the wind/weather affects that in any way, or if they miss a couple throws because of it, that to me is my bigger concern. But if Jordan can hit those, they're going to be there for them, I think, all night on Saturday.
And Andy, what about now? We haven't brought his name up a whole lot today. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. What does this mean for Matthew Golden with Bo Melton now going down? And you don't have a lot of tape on what Matthew Golden might be able to do in a ball game in the postseason, and now you can kind of wipe the slate clean of a pretty disappointing regular season of his rookie year.
Yeah, I don't think the Melton thing affects it a ton. I know, you know, people have been saying, oh, now that Melton's out, Golden's going to get...
He can go in the slot now where Melton
yeah,
was.
Melton had, you know, way fewer snaps than Golden, and he had four catches on the year, Bo Melton did. So, like, I think this idea that Bo Melton's taking all this stuff from Matthew Golden is definitely a little bit overblown. However, what I will say is, you're obviously going to have Watson and Reed and Dobbs probably be your primary three. Wicks is still in concussion protocol,
yep.
so we don't know if he's going to get cleared in time. I would assume that he would, since it was a couple weeks ago, but we never know with concussions and how that's going to go. And even if he does, you know, maybe because he hasn't, you know, been a full go, maybe he's limited a little bit more. Maybe Matthew Golden gets more of the, you know, sort of number four wide receiver reps in this game. Either way, I expect Golden to have his usual about 15 to 25 snaps in this game, and, you know, whether or not he can make an impact, we'll have to wait and see. But there's two things that are overblown. The first thing that's overblown is that Matthew Golden is a bust. I have loved what I've seen from him on film all year, and it's more circumstantial. Early in the year when he was getting open down the field, Jordan missed a couple throws. If he has a couple of those, you know, 50, 80 yard, you know, bombs to his name, we probably feel a lot different. But unfortunately, Jordan just missed a couple. And then I think the other thing is, this is how wide receivers have been in Green Bay for forever. You know, it took Randall Cobb was the fourth, fifth guy when he came in. James Jones was down the depth chart. Jordy Nelson was down the depth chart when they came in. Like, it just, you have four guys that are very clearly established in Wicks, Reed, Dobbs, and Watson that are ahead of them, and that just makes it a little bit more difficult. And those guys know the routes better, they block a little bit better, they do the things that Matt's looking for on a more consistent basis. So Golden's going to get his 15-20 snaps. It wouldn't surprise me if he had a big play or two in this game, or just even a first down conversion. He's really good. He's going to be awesome next year, I have no doubt. Dobbs is probably going to be elsewhere, and still very excited about him long term.
What do you think about the running games in this matchup? Obviously, as a Packers fan, I'm scared to death way more of the Bears running game than of Caleb Williams, just because of what we saw with Derrick Henry and what we saw against the Bears in both matchups. And I'm worried, you know, Tommy has finally gotten in my head that, like, Josh Jacobs is not Josh Jacobs and that he's just not the same guy we saw last year. And even in his flashes this year, he's just not the same guy. So I'm worried about the Packers on defense against the Bears running game, and I'm worried about the Packers running game themselves and what they can do to control the clock, because I don't want to get into this place where it's 9-minute drive, 2-minute drive, 9-minute drive, 2-minute drive, where it's 14-14, but the time of possession is 18-4, and the Packers' defense is just done for the night.
Yeah, I'm with you. You'd obviously want to at least keep the time of possession a little bit closer. To me, Jacobs is a lot due to circumstance as well, where I think the injuries have played a major factor, and the offensive line just hasn't, you know, been run-blocking great for him. You go back to that Denver game where he had that, what, 45-yard touchdown run right before everything basically crashed down, and, you know, then you had the Watson injury, the Parsons injury, and everything like that. But that was, I thought, a phenomenal run by him, and I think he still has that burst and explosiveness. Remember back to last year in Philly, Josh Jacobs was the one guy on offense that's like trying to carry that team to a playoff win. At that one almost Marshawn Lynch style run where he got down to the 1-inch line or whatever, he was fantastic. I expect him to have that very same sort of demeanor and want to in this game, and I do think that the offensive line from a run blocking standpoint has just been better as of late, and I do think guys like Anthony Belton, Sean Ryan at center, you know, he was at a rest day today, but you should get Zach Tom back at right tackle.
That's
this
what
week
I was
going
to ask. Is Zach Tom going to be playing?
It sounds like it again. Rest day.
It sounds
today.
Like just a rest day.
It sounds like just
sounds
a rest
like.
Day. So hopefully he's going to be good to go for Saturday. Fingers crossed. But
is it weird to have a rest day this late in the week, or is that? Do you sometimes have Friday as a rest day, Mason?
I think it's just like kind of circumstantial. Yeah, with the playoffs and how it unfolded with the Saturday game. So I took multiple rest days during the week. So.
It's just, even Sundays.
I thought
a kicker. Oh, shut up, Tommy.
Goodness. Your whole life is a rest day, bro.
Until he retired. Then he picked it up.
Oh, I know. I can't rest anymore. This is ridiculous. I was carrying new beds that are coming up into the kids' room. I had to help like the person on the truck. Only one guy comes, and it's like this huge bed frame and all this. I'm like, what do we do with this, man? And
he's like, this is going to be kicking in the CFL before you know it. He's just going to be like, crazy. I got to get back to this. I got to get back to the CFL.
I can't be lifting bed frames.
Give me a football.
This is much harder work than kicking a ball in the NFL. Give me a break.
Andy Herman joining the Mason Crosby Show here. Andy, if the Packers do lose, the chances that John Harbaugh is the next head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, gosh.
Whoa, yeah, let's go.
What was my favorite, 0.01%? I'll say I think there's a 0.5% chance that Matt's gone. 0.5.
Whoa,
I don't think there's much chance.
Okay.
And I think that the odds that Harbaugh is the replacement is probably very slim. I will say this. I think if that did happen, the one thing I'd be very confident in is that the special teams gets a lot better and isn't the 30th EPA special teams in the league. So that'd be the one thing I'd be confident. Ben Albright, who is kind of Denver Broncos based and does some national stuff as well, brought up a great point of, listen, if you're the Bills or the Packers and, you know, you've got McDermott and LaFleur and, you know, both of them are maybe a little bit on the hot seat if they go one and done, right?
Yep.
You've got eight teams already that have head coaching vacancies, and you're potentially then would get – Steelers could be 9. If the Packers and Bills both do, that could be 10 and 11, right? Either way, it would
That'd
be at minimum
wild.
9 openings if Green Bay did. And this is one of the weakest coaching pools that we have seen in a very long time of available coaches. And all eight teams that are searching for coaches right now have a leg up on you from already starting that process. I don't know that Green Bay would want to enter into that. I think for the most part, 99% of this is overblown. I personally expect Matt's going to be back almost no matter what. But I said maybe 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, when this stuff started bubbling up, I'm like, if they lose their I literally said, like, if they lose their last 5 games and get blown out in the wild card, we can have a conversation. And all of a sudden, they lose 4 in a row. This would be 5th. And if they get blown out by Chicago, and that's their 5th loss in a row, and it's in a blowout, all right, it's conversation time. But outside of that, I just think he's back, and I think it's the right move. How they extend him, how long the extension is, what that extension looks like, I think is going to be more interesting. I don't think they let him go in a lame duck. But
Andy, let me ask you on that though. We talked about this at length on Tuesday. Like, why is that common practice for head coaches? They don't do that. You know, sometimes they want to extend players, but usually it's like into their last year, like in training camp or something, you see an extension. Why is this like mindset where it's just like, oh, we don't have lame duck coaches. We don't let them get into their last year of their contract. Like, why is that though? Like, if you have some questions, you didn't extend them before this season. Why now are you just more confident to give a 4-year contract extension at this point? If they do lose this playoff game, like, try to explain that to me, because it's never made sense from a player's perspective why coaches get that kind of treatment.
Yeah, my guess is that the viewpoint is that it's basically a vote of no confidence from ownership. And if the ownership doesn't have confidence in the head coach, why are the players going to have confidence in the head coach? And they know sort of the situation too. You could call BS on that. That's totally fine. And just say, yeah, I don't think it would affect the players at all. And maybe it wouldn't. But I think there is that connotation of you're basically saying that the front office doesn't trust it. And also, like, just from a coaching standpoint too, if all of a sudden, you know, if I'm Matt LaFleur and I'm going into my last season, I'm probably in the back of my mind a little bit checked out and being like, I'm a free agent coming next offseason. Like, I'm looking around to see what's out
there.
Yeah,
but if you don't do well in that final season, then you're not going to get a head coaching job. So, like, it's like players in their last season, that's when they go out and ball, right? Because they know they're going to get a payday in that offseason. So, that frustrates me on the coaching side, because I'm just like, so he would just mail it in and all the players would say, like, oh, well, he probably won't be here, so we're not going to play this year? Like,
I don't buy into that. So I think the other thing is, you know, in those situations, they usually just do a plus one, so they just add 1 year on top of it, and then
be a short one. Okay.
Well, so here's the really complicated aspect of this, right? Matt on the open market very clearly gets one of these 8 open jobs. It's probably one of the most sought after coaches in the market.
Right.
Probably gets 15
the
plus.
The pick of the one he wants.
Gets 15 plus million per year on the open market. So if Green Bay, so let's say he loses this last game, whatever the point differential is. Let's say they lose this game, and Green Bay is like, well, we want to keep Matt. We're not going to fire him, but we really don't want to give a lucrative extension to a guy that hasn't won a playoff game in a while, or at least is what won in the last 5 years, basically, and just lost 5 games in a row, lost again to the Bears. There's a new team now that's ahead of Green Bay in the division. Like, we're not going to give some long lucrative extension. So they're going to say, well, we're going to give you, you know, we'll extend you for 1 year and see how things go next year. And if you're Matt and his agent, you say, oh, no, there's no chance. Like, I can go out right now and get a 5-year, you know, $65 million deal. So if you don't want me here, then you let me see, like, fire me. I'll go and find a better job elsewhere, or let me go find a job, and then they can give you compensation, you know, for my services. That's where I think the rubber meets the road here, is if Green Bay is like, we're not going to fire you, but we don't want to give you an extension, and Matt LaFleur says, no, you're giving me extension, or I'm out of here. That, to me, is the really interesting crux of this.
So I don't like playing this game, but I'm going to play it right now because I find this
crazy
fascinating. You know me in the business of sports. I love this kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Say they like decide, okay, well, LaFleur, we're gonna extend you out, we're gonna give you this 4-year deal because there's no one else we want. We know on the open market you're gonna get that. Give the 4-year deal. They lay an egg next year. What then? Then are you just stuck with him? Like, you're just stuck in this situation? Like, that's why I don't get, like, the not play, like, not coaching your last year of your contract deal for head coaches.
Yeah, and my guess is where maybe this is at right now is my guess is Green Bay probably wants to give a 2-year extension and maybe make him that. And my guess is Matt probably wants more job security than that, and he probably wants a 3-year extension on top of the one that's already, you know, there for next year. So I think that's probably where some of this is. To me, if you give the 3-year extension on top of it, so 4 years remaining on his deal, you probably have him for the next 2 years unless something goes catastrophic and he completely loses the locker room and the players just stop playing for him, because Green Bay doesn't really get in the business of firing coaches with a bunch of years left on their contract. So I would assume, but again, that there's always a way. You know, you have to pay him, you know, what, $45 million to not be the coach of Green Bay if you'd fire him after next year. So probably something in that range, and I'm sure they would love not to do that. But if they laid a complete egg next year and all of a sudden again he loses the locker room, then you probably have to make a change. But then I would expect in that situation, assuming like Jeff Hafley doesn't get a job this offseason and he's still like defensive coordinator next year, my guess is it's probably some sort of like internal or cheaper hire because you're already paying Matt $45 million to not be the coach.
Yeah, it's not going to be as good of an option there, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a really interesting scenario. Because,
dude, how smart is Andy?
That's why I'm asking Andy these questions.
I could listen to him podcast every day. I can.
Yes, we should.
Oh. Amazing. Yes.
Yeah, kind of like looking back, like, I'm sorry. My mind is going down. This is like my.
Let's go, Mason. Go for it.
It is your show.
The seventh seed for 3 years in a row. Sure, made the playoffs. The rules are what they are. Had it been the old way, like whenever McCarthy was a coach and he had missed the playoffs 4 years in a row, what would we be talking about right now?
Yeah, he'd be gone.
He'd be gone.
There's any question about that.
So I don't.
But here's what I would say is that, you know, these.
And I don't want a coach to get fired.
But
it's the youngest roster
every year.
I like
the youngest roster, guys.
I really like Coach LaFleur. I have a great relationship with it. But like, as a player, sometimes I'm like, if this was a player, like they'd be like, well, like we're not seeing this growth in a move towards something different.
We can make a case for or against. So if we want to make the case against Matt LaFleur, right? You mentioned the seven seed merchants. They have won one playoff game in the last 5 years, right? Because 2022 they lost right away, or sorry, 21 they lost right away. 22 they weren't in it.
Yeah, that's
23. 23 they won one and then lost in the second round, and then 24 they didn't win, and then 25 if they lost this one would not be. Right. So one playoff win in 5 years. In the last 2 years, the last year and this year, they're 3-10. I think it's 3-10 against playoff teams in the regular season. So they've done very poorly. They're basically bad win merchants in the regular season. And to your point, Mason, we haven't quite seen the growth, I think, overall from the team that you were hoping to expect. Obviously, on the flip side is that this has been a playoff team pretty much every year, youngest team in the NFL 3 years running. They've been constantly competitive. I think pretty much every year has been, I would say, what you would consider mostly a successful year, other than maybe the immediate elimination to the 49ers in the divisional round when you had a really good team and lost that game and barely put up points on offense, and then losing in the first round last year. The last season with Aaron, it just felt like that season was cursed all the way around. But we can put that on Matt, too, if
frickin'
we want.
Frickin' London.
Yeah, exactly. It just felt like that was never going to work. But yeah, there's certainly some. I think there's positives and negatives depending on how you want to look at it. I think the other thing I would say too is like, let's say you do fire Matt, you bring in a next head coach. The expectations on that head coach now of like Matt's like the third most winning coach in the NFL right now, and in one of the top like 5-10 in history based on record. Like if this guy ends up going like, you know, whatever. Like what if the new guy goes 8-8 next year? Like is he just gone? Are you going to then fire that guy and go to the next guy after that?
Ray Rhodes.
Because like you are. Now, you know, sort of, and you don't want to become that franchise that's just like new head coach, new head coach, new head coach. Like, that's not the way to build anything either. So, I haven't seen anything yet that would tell me definitively that Matt as a coach cannot win this thing. I think it's really difficult to win at the highest level in the NFL. I still think that this team was trending in the Denver game in the right direction to be able to do that, and then things all went haywire. Me personally, I'm bringing him back. And the other thing, just about the seven seed, too, is like, yeah, these are all like stupid NFL rules, whether you want the 7 seed, don't want the 7 seed. The Packers were, I think, like the fourth or fifth team in the NFC 2 years ago, but they got the 7th seed because of how things are ordered.
Right, record-wise.
Like, last year, they were like the 5th or 6th seed in the NFC. So, like, more often than not, they would be, you know, what you would consider
record-wise
a playoff team. It's just these are stupid, division and conference rules of who gets in and who doesn't. I don't think anyone in this year, last year, or the previous year would look at Green Bay and say, they are just, they're not a playoff team. They got in, they were 7-10, but got in because of some stupid play. Like, they were deserving playoff teams all 3 years.
That's a good point.
Well, that's why we love you, Andy. I really appreciate it. I could talk to you about this forever, but we will let you go. We appreciate you stopping in and joining us live there.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
From margaritas, I know you and Mitch, as soon as we go to break, we'll probably hug multiple times before you head out. But really good to see you.
Some tequila shots, too, yeah.
Hey, exactly. Appreciate you guys. Always a blast.
He's Andy Herman. Make sure you follow him at Andy Herman NFL and everywhere where you find Pack-A-Day podcast. Every day, 365 days a year, new content. Always on top of everything with our Green Bay Packers, keeping us informed. When we come back, we'll make our weekly picks and just continue the general fun and frivolity of margaritas here in Green Bay. He's Mason Crosby. He's Tommy Wirtz. Again, thank you to Andy Herman. My name is Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder. This is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon.